Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden, and this show is Embracing Your Essence. And we are going to be talking about holiday overwhelm tonight. So thank you for joining me. As you are joining in, say hello. I'd love to hear where you're from. So I am a registered medium here at Lilydale Assembly, and I'm also a certified intuitive life coach. And as a life coach, I like to help people figure out how to create their best lives. Tonight on this show, we are going to be talking about holiday overwhelm and some of the stress that goes with the holidays. And sometimes we feel like the holidays are just one more thing to get through. The three-step process I'm going to talk about tonight can apply to any stressful circumstance, not just the holidays. I'm talking about the holidays because they're here, so it would be fun to apply it to that. I'm also going to be briefly, a few times, I will mention grief at the holidays as well, because there seems to be a lot of that happening right now, so I do want to address that as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, so let me see who's joining me here. Hi, Julie, nice to see you. Yes, so as you all are joining me tonight, just say hello. It'd be nice to know who's here and all of that. So what else do I need to tell you? To find out more about some of the workshops Lilydale is having, we're having online workshops throughout the winter. You can go to lilydaleassembly.org. It should be there. Or on the Facebook page, Lilydale Assembly Incorporated. That is the official page for Lilydale, and you can find out more there. And I do want to announce that my Courageously You group coaching program will reopen January 13th. That's when we start. So if you want to sign up, I've got some people already signing up, so I want to make sure it's a limited seating, so to speak, so I want to make sure people who do want to do it get in there. If you sign up before, well, I'm guessing on this one, January 7th, you do get a free 30-minute coaching session with me. That's a great deal. So you get the little bonus there for that. So anyway, you can check that out on my website, ColleenVanderZijden.com, or psychicmediumcolleen.com. Same thing, goes to the same place. So again, let me just check everybody. You know, I'm going to start talking for you. Hi, Robin. Nice to see you. Hi, Ray and Denise and Darlene. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. So we are going to be talking about holiday stress and overwhelm. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, we are going to go over a three-step process that can help you release that overwhelm. And you'll be reprioritizing what is truly important to you. This all came about, this topic came about, because over the weekend I was talking with my daughter about unscheduled time and how I was envisioning empty days where I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And this isn't just the fun things, but also other things that catch my attention. You know, like, you know how sometimes you're just in the mood to clean a closet, usually when you have to go do something else, but you know how sometimes you just get in the mood for that? That's the time to do it rather than relegating it to a have-to list. If you're in the mood, it's going to be more fun. And when I was talking to her, I was talking about wanting more unscheduled time, and because then I could follow these impulses and just do whatever I wanted to. And I know she likes that as well, to just follow that thing. So talking about this, this also came about because I was making yet another to-do list, and I have these lists everywhere. These are things I have to get done. Now, I like to be busy, and I really enjoy it that way. But when I start dreaming about having more free time or of not doing anything, that means I've moved into overload. This has been an exceptional time in my life right now. There's so much going on right now, so I can see that I needed some of this time. So again, as I was talking with her, we were just looking at the Christmas tree we had bought, and her fiance and she had helped me set it up, and it still needs lights and decorations. And I do like decorating and organizing and all of that stuff, unless it moves on to the have-to list. Then it's just another thing to do and get stressed over. Usually stressed because it's incomplete. You know, I've got to finish it. I've got to do this. Then it's not fun. And one of my favorite sayings is, if it's not fun, why do it? We have entered this time of holiday overwhelm. This is when we add many other layers on top of our already full lives. And as I keep saying, very repetitively, that with the uncertainty of the pandemic, and yet another issue with that now, right? With the uncertainty of the pandemic and the societal issues that we're experiencing, everything that's happening politically, societally, I don't know if that's a word, and culturally, we are experiencing more stress than we normally would be experiencing. Have you noticed that there are times where something really small happens and you get overwhelmed with it, where normally a couple of years ago you would have just rolled with it? It would be no big deal. So we already have this underlying stress that's affecting us. So when we add on other layers of things to do, it can cause more overwhelm and more stress. And here's another stressful layer for those of you who have suffered a loss. I have seen a lot of posts on Facebook, as well as hearing about people who have lost family and friends, not only due to COVID, but other things as well. And it seems like, I don't know if it's just that I'm older or I have more awareness of it, but it seems like there's so many people who are passing now, you know, and people that we don't expect. So people who are in grief during this time, with everything else that's happening, you know, they're entering what we call, in quotes, the happiest time of year, but they're in grief. So sometimes people who are in grief might try to maintain a more normal schedule and go through the motions of trying to make sure everything is the same as it's always been, or they may have an added pressure of pretending they're okay, hiding their grief because they don't want to make other people uncomfortable. People in grief during the holidays is very hard. I mean, it's hard if you lost somebody 5 years ago, somebody very important to you, and every holiday reminds you. Even if you've lost somebody a year ago, this holiday could be very tough. And so some people are barely functioning. So when we're thinking about stresses and these layers that overwhelm us, we don't want to compare our stresses, okay? We don't want to do that by saying, oh, theirs is worse than mine, so mine's not that bad. And then we just miss how we feel. You know, we might say to ourselves, well, they had a really big loss, and I'm just stressed out because, you know, I have all these things to do on my have-to list, so I'll just ignore how I feel. So we don't want to compare them. We don't want to minimize what we are experiencing. We need to really acknowledge what we're truly feeling, no matter what is contributing to the overwhelm. Whether it's something really gigantic or even what appears to be small. If it's affecting you and causing overwhelm or stress, we need to acknowledge it. Then we can take appropriate action and move forward. And so my thought tonight is that I propose that rather than getting stuck in stress and overwhelm this year, that we do it differently. So let's not get sucked into that idea that we have to be happy. Big one, huh? I'm not saying dive wholeheartedly into depression, okay? If you are depressed, you're struggling with some mental things, you're just overwhelmed and you really need some support, go get some professional counseling, get a professional therapist, somebody who can help you. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But what I'm saying is stop pressuring yourself to pretend to feel other than how you truly feel. So what I want you to think about is to pay attention to how you really feel and honor yourself and acknowledge it. We want to change what we've always done, do something different. You know, it's so easy for us to go through the motions and pretend everything is great, isn't it? It's really easy to do. But we want to break this pattern this year. So let's not get trapped in the idea that we have to do what we've always done, or that we have to create the perfect holiday, that illusion that when the family's going to all come together, we're all going to get along. That's an illusion. Some people can experience it, but many people don't. Okay? We don't have to get the most special gift in the world. We have free will. We don't have to do anything. And I'm not saying be a jerk. I'm not saying don't buy presents for people if that's what you want to do. I'm saying acknowledge what you're really feeling, what you're really thinking. So when we have this have-to list, we're putting pressure on ourselves. And when we do that, it just turns into a habit. So we're going to decide not to do it. So what we want to do is reprioritize our have-to list. Instead of making it something we have to get through, or something we have to complete, or maybe even dreading whatever's on our list, let's make it based on honoring ourselves and acknowledging how we really feel. That's a different kind of list. Many of us were not taught to do that. We weren't taught to pay attention to how we truly feel. We weren't taught to acknowledge it. And people who are very empathic or would be labeled, in quotes, emotional, have been told not to feel their emotions. So this has all become a habit here that we've gotten a little trapped in, shall we say. So if we can instead reprioritize our list and create a new kind of holiday season, this one would be the one where we're more authentic. And when we're more authentic, we're actually happier. And we can have more peace and we can have more fun. Okay, so we're going to go through, as I said earlier, we're going to go through a three-step process. Very easy, so simple. You will be shocked at how easy and simple it is. And don't worry, I will hit your objections. I will do those. And if some come up, feel free to just put them in the comments, and then I will hit them as I see them, of course. So hi, Steve. Oh, hi, nice to see you, Steve. And Dawn and Ashley, you're hitting me right in the feels. Yes, we have to do this. So start thinking about what's on your have-to list. I am a big list maker. I will write on my list, make a bigger list. I will write a master list. So I love my list. But I have noticed because of the overwhelm right now that I tend to, you know, I move into that have-to. I don't want to do this. Okay, I don't want to, you know, for whatever reason, things that I would normally find fun. So our first step to releasing the overwhelm, whether it's holiday overwhelm, normal, in quotes, stressful, overwhelm, whatever it may be. The first one is to check in with ourselves. We have to check in with ourselves. When my daughter Laura and I were talking about the holidays and the overwhelm and what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, we got on the topic of Christmas cards. And she asked me if I was going to send them out this year. Now, in January, they were New Year's cards. And part of the reason I did that is because I had more free time after Christmas, so I could get them done and send them out. So I told them, I think I might do that again. So I've changed what I used to do. And this is a very simple example. And when I was thinking about it and talking to her about it, my thought was, if it's going to cause me more stress, then I can decide not to do it, maybe do it in a different way or do it at a different time. There's always an option, okay? You can check in with yourself for everything, from the most simple things to the most complicated. Here's a key part of this. You have to be truthful with yourself. How do you really feel? If you're not excited or thinking something will be fun, that's a pretty good sign that whatever you're contemplating might cause more stress. And we want to avoid that. We want to minimize the stress, especially this year. It seems that this year the energy is just so intense that besides everything else I've already mentioned, the energy is really off the charts. So we really have to be aware of what's happening and take the steps to minimize the stress. So some of the things that might cause stress, it could be anything, right? Making the holiday cookies. Do you like it or not? Or do you dread it? Do you think, oh, I have to do the holiday cookies? Do you want to have dinner with that obnoxious relative? Or is your stomach just really tight thinking about it? Some people really like to have their house in perfect order, but is it fun? Do you enjoy having it in perfect order? Do you enjoy doing it? Do you enjoy cleaning it? You want to check in and see what you're really feeling. Same thing about, you know, the china. Sometimes we like to use the good china, right, for a special dinner. But then you have to wash it by hand, and it seems to take forever, and then we're not having fun talking to everybody after we eat dinner. So we have to be more aware of how we're feeling, because when we do that, that stops us from acting out of habit. We do things out of habit, and we're just not aware. So when you check in with yourself, you'll become more aware, and you'll understand what's really motivating you. It will be very helpful if you check in. We have not been taught to do that. I'll repeat that. We have not been taught to do that. I have been working on checking in with myself for the past, I don't know how many years, probably not that long, really, 5-10 years. So I've been working on checking in, and I can still get caught up in those habits of doing those things. So if you're experiencing loss, you've had a loss, and you're in the holidays now, and you're starting to get a little bit of that dread going, okay, you may not want to do what you've always done, or maybe you do. but it might be too painful. So when you check in with yourself, you want to recognize that and really, really pay attention to how you're feeling. Then you can decide what would honor you and where you are at this time, what you really want to do. So when you check in with your emotions, that will help lead you to your priorities, whether it's the simple stuff or the big stuff. You can then stop putting pressure on yourself because you'll reprioritize what is most important to you. So checking in is the first thing to do. It takes a second, but you have to be honest with yourself and you have to be willing to do it. The next step, the second step in the three-step process to reduce this overwhelm is to take some action. So there are two ideas that can help you decide which action to take. The first one is say no. Say no to situations you don't want to do. Say no to things that will add to your stressful have-to list. You're giving yourself permission to put you first. This is necessary. I know it sounds so simple for me to say, just say no, I'm not doing that. But what happens is our mind immediately comes up with reasons why we can't say no. One of the first ones is, well, we've always done it that way. Okay, now check in on that. What does that mean for you? Said if I don't make my awesome pie that everybody wants to love, and they just love it so much, they'll be upset if I don't bring it. They'll miss my Christmas card. Probably not, but they might miss it. I can't break tradition. I can't tell my obnoxious relative to either be nice or don't come. Part of the reason it's hard for us to say no and protect our energy is because we have been trained to believe it's selfish to put our needs first. Self-care is not selfish. No matter where that belief comes from, no matter who has told you that you have to put everybody else's needs ahead of your own, that is not selfish to put yourself first. And I'm not saying be egotistical, not, you know, everybody do this for me, narcissistic, nothing like that. You understand what I'm saying. When you check in with yourself and you realize there's something you don't want to do, that's a sign of self-care. When you acknowledge it, when you honor and acknowledge it, you're taking action for your self-care. If others have a problem with that, that's not your problem. It's really not. You have to reprioritize and put your energy first. Now, I know somebody out there is right now going, but I have to do it this way because this is how it's always been done, or I don't want to do that, or I don't this, or I don't that. I'm going to talk about another way to shift is on that. But I also want you to, when you make a decision and your action steps, that you make it based on understanding how you truly feel. You can still decide to host the obnoxious relative as long as it's a conscious, intentional choice and you recognize what you're doing rather than acting out of habit or fear. Okay, so you see the importance here of the checking in with yourself. Then you get to decide, are you going to say no to things? Your priority is you, okay? The simpler you can make your life with fewer obligations or stress-inducing situations or the dreadful have-to list, the happier you'll be. I like my day somewhat free so I can wander from one project to the next when I'm in the mood. I find that fun and it brings me joy. After considering what to say no to, the next action step is to say yes to those things you do want to do. So many of us put off fun. So many of us put off having a good time. When we are having a good time, many times we are not focused or present to that moment. We'll be having dinner and already thinking ahead, oh, no, I've got to wash the dishes. Whatever it is, we're not present in the moment. So say yes to being present in the moment. When you say yes to those things you want to do, this means you decide to embrace the yes. You choose the fun, or you choose the enthusiasm. You choose being present. You choose to be happy and connected to the people around you. This isn't a, I have to get through it, yes. This is an, I want to get through it, yes. Okay, you understand how that works? Because we so easily and so frequently put off our fun for another time. So first thing is checking in. The next thing is to take some action, saying yes or saying no, whichever one feels right to you. That's the one. The third step is to use fun as your guide. And I'm going to talk about a simple way that I do that myself. So use fun as your guide. We are here in the physical life. We should be enjoying it. We should be having fun. If you enjoy cleaning or you enjoy writing Christmas cards, then do it. Then decide if it's a yes, you're going to do it and embrace it, or a no, and you're just not going to do it. If hosting a big dinner is fun for you, then do it. If it's not, do you have to do it? Is there another way you can not do it? Maybe somebody else can host, or you'll see what I'm going to talk about in a second. A great way that I use to help me decide my priorities and reconnect my truth is to ask myself if the activity or whatever it is a 9 or a 10 out of 10. So a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 in priority or my desire to do it. If it ranks 9 or 10, then I'll do it. If it doesn't, then I can decide how to handle that. I can decide not to do it. I can decide to reframe the activity and make it fun. Now, for example, many of us have changed dirty diapers, right? Messy diapers aren't fun, but changing them is a necessity. It is a priority, isn't it? Right? So to make it more fun, what can you do? So changing the diaper itself, probably a 0 out of 10, right? But the priority of having the baby be clean and healthy and happier is a 10 out of 10. Okay, so you have to pick your priority, right? There's your priority. So to change the diaper, how can you make it more fun? What can you do? And I remember changing my kids' diapers, of course, when they were younger, and I would play with them and get them laughing. I used to change the kids on a bed, and so I would push on the bed up and down, so they would end up bouncing on the bed. And they would laugh and laugh and laugh, and I just loved listening to them laugh. So changing the diaper became something fun to do. It's a necessity. We might as well enjoy it as best we can. I know it sounds really strange, but the diaper is a perfect example. Because we live in this physical life, there are certain things we have to do, right? We have to pay the bills. We have to cook. We have to clean. But we can choose how to make them more fun. So they're more of a 9 or a 10. Maybe when we're paying the bills, we can play some great music or whatever that would make us look forward to it more rather than going, oh, I've got to go do this. I have to do this. So we can reframe our have-to list for those things that really are a priority in our physical lives. When it comes down to having fun and those things, we want to make sure we're choosing the fun parts. For the holidays, there's so much out there. You know that, we get excited about the holidays, but then sometimes we bite off a little more than we can chew, for example. So we have to be sure that we're being realistic in what's happening. I used to love doing Christmas stockings, and it was fun to search out little presents and get a surprise for everybody and all that. But over the years, because I'm really busy, it turned into a have to. And so if I check in with that, I can see what I really think about that, so I can decide if I'm going to stop or continue. But when I check in, I recognize I do like the tradition. It's fun. The kids like it, even though they're adults. The kids like it. So I do want to keep doing it. So it's a yes for me. So if it's a yes for me, how can I make it more fun? How can it turn into using fun as a guide? It could just a simple shift in perspective. I can make sure I start playing with ideas in my mind. Now, what's happening is when I decide that it's a yes and that I'm going to choose to make it more fun, I've shifted my perspective, I'm back in my power, and I can now create the fun. Okay? Very simple. I can decide when I go shopping, I'm just going to go in and pretend it's a little treasure hunt rather than the, ugh, I have to go do this and I hope I get some things. Something else I could do, just to throw out another idea for you, if you have similar things going on in your life, is if it's not a yes for me, I could tell other people, you know what, it's not a yes for me. And they might decide, well, you know what, we're going to help. They are going to help, and they can do that as well. It's a very simple example, of course, you know, doing the stocking. But when we're in overwhelm, holiday or otherwise, the little things add up and cause the stress. So it's not just that we've got this one big stressor happening. We may have several big stressors happening or a whole bunch of little ones on top of our normal bigger stresses. Okay, I'm going to check in the comments and see what I'm missing here. Darlene's saying, after my son's death 2 Christmases ago, I haven't decorated for the holidays. Though I was labeled lazy, I visit and enjoy other people's decorations. She enjoys it more. That, Darlene, is honoring yourself and honoring your emotions and doing what feels right to you. And notice, everybody, also, that even though people, somebody, somewhere, has labeled her lazy, she stuck to her guns and did what was right for her. She's in her power. The holidays are very hard this way, right? You know, when we start thinking about this stuff, what's going on, people who have had a loss, the holidays are tough. And when you lose a son or a spouse or your parents, somebody very close to you, the holidays are just going, that's the way it is, okay? It's a fact. This doesn't mean it's always going to be like this. It doesn't mean we won't change our minds about things later, but this is the importance of checking in and honoring how we truly feel. So many times we do have to give ourselves permission to honor what we feel, give ourselves permission to stand strong in our power and do what's right for us. That self-care is a priority, particularly for those who are dealing with grief. You know, you don't have to please other people, especially when you're in grief. Well, you don't really have to please them most of the time anyway, okay? You don't have to do what you've always done. Now, for those of you out there who will be hosting family get-togethers or parties or whatever it is, honor the people who are coming who are in grief. I read this horrible post on Facebook about somebody who said that they had lost somebody, and it wasn't that long ago, somebody very important in their lives, it was a couple of months ago or something, and their friends actually did like an intervention and told them that they needed to stop grieving so much. They needed to move on. The person who was grieving did not need to hear that. Who would do that? So what a horror. I was beside myself. I couldn't believe somebody would have done that. Grief has its own timetable. We have to honor that. So if you are being a gracious host and you're inviting someone to your house, allow them the opportunity to say no. Give them the flexibility to make it be a last-minute decision. Let them come and be as they want to be. Let them experience their emotions. If they want to be sad, you can ask them, what do you need from me? How can I help you? Do you want to be alone? Do you want me to sit with you? Whatever it is. It takes a very special, kind, compassionate person to sit with somebody in their grief and allow them to honor their own grief, and that compassionate person also honoring the other person's grief. So if you are hosting, be sure to express that kindness, compassion, and support for the other person. And I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but here we are. I will tell you nonetheless. So when you check in with yourself, if you're the person who's experienced a loss, recognize what you really want. And then if you want to say yes, say yes. If you want to say no, say no, but know that you always have the power to change your mind. And if you have a more recent grief and fun may be the last thing on your mind, give yourself permission to just be open and allow the fun to come to you. Something might come, something might make you smile. You can look for the joy. I'm not saying to negate your grief. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying just be open and allow it to come. Because I can tell you from Spirit's perspective, they do want you to have as much fun and joy as possible. And, you know, they understand our grief at the same time. So this three-step process that we've talked about tonight, the checking in, to acknowledge how you truly feel. Then we have the action of saying yes or no. What are you going to do? What feels right to you? What do you need to do? Now, Marie Elizabeth is saying, I'm an empty nester and it's been hard at times. Yeah, it can be, can't it? You know, if you don't have people around you. So in this case, and I'm not telling you what to do, Marie. Okay, I'm just using it as an example for other people as well, because if you make a comment on that, I'm sure other people have it as well. So in this case, if it's been hard, then I might ask myself if I were in that situation, and actually I have been in that situation when my kids were younger and they weren't always with me for holidays, I would check in with myself and see what I really wanted. What did I really want to experience? Did I want to be with other people or did I want to be alone? Did I want to make a big meal for myself or not? And I would check in with that. And if I felt like I wanted to shake it up a little bit, I would go someplace else or I'd go visit a friend or I'd go take a little trip or whatever it was. So we have that power to decide to say yes to things or no to things. And I always did use my having fun as a guide. What would be fun? If we know the holidays are going to be tough for whatever reasons, what would make it more fun? And then you can use your power to do it. So I'm just going to briefly go over the three steps one more time. And it's a little shorter show tonight. Look at that. So the process to release the overwhelm is so simple. Check in how you feel. How do you feel? Acknowledge it and honor it. Take action. Are you going to say yes or are you going to say no? Nice, easy one. Most of the time, I just need to say more no's. Use fun as a guide for how you take action. It's awesome. This is the way to do it. I'm telling you, this will work for everything. So that is my little briefer show tonight. I know Celeste, who sets my shows up for me on Black Talk, she'll be like, I can't believe you did it in a half hour instead of 30 minutes or 60 minutes, because that's normal. So I do want to mention again, Lilydale website, lilydaleassembly.org. You can see about what's happening. Coming up, we do a lot of online classes. They are getting the workshops together for next year, so that's coming soon. I know it seems like we were just there, doesn't it? My Courageously You group coaching program is starting January 13th. Please do check that out. It is all about personal and group coaching. We go through my Happy and Unstoppable online course as well as just talking every week on Zoom about whatever happens in people's lives and giving people strategies to handle their problems, their stresses, their challenges, so that they can handle everything better. And also, my book is coming out. Oh, I don't know when exactly, but believe me, it's soon, sooner than I probably think, actually. So as soon as that's out, I will let you know. So what else do you need to know? I think that's it. So I will be here next week again, but I don't know what I'm talking about yet because Spirit made me change my topic this week and probably will again for next week. So it's all good. So you guys have the most wonderful week, and I will see you next week. Bye.